Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today. My next guest is joining us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He is Bill Erforth from Modern City Entertainment. And Bill is and his company, Modern City Entertainment, have created some fantastic movies called Heroes Behind the Badge, and we're going to hear about those. So let's get right into it. Bill, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Bill. Good. Thanks for having me.
How are things down at Fort Lauderdale?
You know, not too bad today. It's a little warm, but we're going to get some rain, but we're jumping into the rainy season here, so that's pretty typical.
You'll get through it somehow.
Yeah, it'll be tough, but we'll make it.
Well, I'm an ex-Floridian myself. I love it down there, and it's a fantastic area. So tell us about what you've been doing with how you got started with Modern City Entertainment and what the concept's all about.
So it's a little bit of an unusual story in the path to get to where we're at right now. But my background and my career was in law enforcement, and I did 26 years with the Miami-Dade Police Department in Miami, Florida. And really, Bill, based on a lot of the real-life, real-world experiences that I was involved in throughout my career working undercover or organized crime or the tactical unit, stuff like that, it kind of became something that was sought out and valuable to the film industry. And while I was still on the job going back about 15 years ago, I got a call from a Hollywood producer by the name of Jerry Bruckheimer. And so I started working for him part-time as a consultant and technical advisor on a lot of the action films, starting with Bad Boys 2 and a number of other films since then, and really was never something that I was particularly interested in, never had any background or knowledge, aside from just your average moviegoer, I suppose. And as my career kind of wound down, I continued working for those folks and retired after 26 years with Miami-Dade Police, and that was 7 years ago, and jumped right into this. And with some of the folks that I had worked on previous television shows and films, we established Modern City Entertainment and jumped into a second career here.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic that, you know, you obviously have subject matter knowledge, having done it for quite a few years. What was the goal or the purpose of the films, and what do you hope that people take away from these films?
Well, you know, truly the goal was to change perceptions and attitudes towards greater respect and appreciation for law enforcement. And there's a statistic out there that every 54 hours a law enforcement officer is killed somewhere in America. And, you know, it's a concern and it's a problem, and it affects not only the families and the police agencies or the law enforcement agencies, but it affects the citizens and the communities themselves. And we really wanted to open up some eyes and produce a film to change those perceptions and attitudes and garner more respect for law enforcement. And we partnered with the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C., and 50% of the proceeds from these films go back to support the memorial and families of fallen officers. So truly that was the goal, and it's been a very rewarding and heartwarming experience to be able to do this because, in fact, these two films have been enormously well-received and endorsed throughout the law enforcement circles and have kind of taken on a life of their own in a particular meaning through training and the police academies where they're now seen across the country. But really the goal was to reach out to the general public, and that's the greatest challenge, to get it out there to a larger audience.
And there are two films, right, currently. And what are the names of each of the films?
So the first film was titled Heroes Behind the Badge, and the second documentary film was entitled Heroes Behind the Badge, Sacrifice and Survival. And they're both full-length feature film documentary shot in HD, 90 minutes long, like, you know, any type of movie that you might see, and available in a number of formats, Blu-ray, DVD, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, just like any other standard movie for that matter.
And is any of this related to the media, you know, the portrayal, the latest portrayals of police brutality or anything like this? That just seems to me, when I think about what must be going through the policemen's minds in those situations, is any of this related to the fact that we're taking a wrong turn here in how we view our law enforcement professionals?
Well, that wasn't the initial motivation in doing these films. The initial motivation was that in our first Heroes Behind the Badge film, there are two Miami-Dade officers, Roger Castillo and Amanda Hallworth, that were both shot in the head and killed serving an arrest warrant. They were both personal friends of mine. They had worked for me in the Narcotics Bureau and in the Fugitive Unit. And when they were killed in the line of duty, that was kind of the impetus to say, hey, if we're going to do a film like this, we should do this now. And so that was the initial goal and thought in doing these films. Then we graduated into doing the second one. And then more currently, we've had so many of these issues like you just referenced, like Ferguson, the shooting that happened in North Carolina, the incident that happened in Baltimore. And, you know, we see so many of these incidents, but what's kind of lost within the coverage in the news media is there are nearly 1 million active duty law enforcement officers in this country. And if you consider that there's a million of those folks that are out there on the streets, and how many millions of contacts that those people have on a daily basis with people throughout the United States, it's such a small, small percentage of when something goes wrong or something goes bad or there's a serious use of force situation. And I'll be the first one, especially after being in law enforcement, to tell you, hey, you know, law enforcement people like that, they're human like anybody in any walk of life, and there's a small percentage of bad apples and a few screw-ups along the way. But primarily, they're out there doing the job, protecting every one of us and making a huge difference. And just in furtherance of your question, I guess, is that now as so many of these things have come together, and I'm going to go back to the Ferguson issue and what transpired there in St. Louis, the St. Louis, Missouri Police Officers Association has reached out to us, and they are interested in pursuing and trying to help us do a third film that will, in fact, address some of these issues that you just referenced around the country. And they've actually used our films and had hosted training days where they brought in their local community activists, their community organizers, their state and local politicians, and put them through scenarios so that they could experience what it's like to make that split-second shoot, don't shoot type of decision, but also showed our films and gave copies of our films to each of the people that attended, which was enormously well-received.
Yeah, it seems to me like we focus so much and so intently on, like you said, the things that go wrong are a very, very small percentage of the issues as opposed to the vast number of things that go right. And the tough decisions and the whole evolutionary change of how people deal with or act on a daily basis. I mean, sometimes people act horribly and the police have to stand by and take it and act accordingly and try to figure out, okay, when does someone cross the line? It can't be an easy job. There's no way it's an easy job. And I think it's important that films like yours come out to show all, you know, focus on what's going right out there as well and the good that's being done, because I can't imagine life without law enforcement out, you know, helping keep things on an even keel out there.
Well, we've really been thrilled to be able to have this opportunity to put these movies out there, and I can tell you they've certainly made a difference. They've changed attitudes. They've saved lives. I can relate one particular story. As we were doing these screenings, and we had probably had a couple hundred screenings throughout the United States of both of these films, and I was approached by a police officer in the Seattle area, and he said, you know, I ordered a copy of the film and got a DVD from the National Law Enforcement Memorial and plugged it into the DVD player at the house and sat down with my family. He says, I've got two teenage kids. I can hardly get my kids' attention for 10 minutes to get them away from their Xbox games or whatever it may be. And we plugged in this movie, he said, and my two teenage kids were enthralled by this. He said, it was such a powerful film that we all had this coming together moment with the family. He said, we all cried after the movie. And he said, you know, it inspired me because for the last 10 years, I had never gone to work wearing my bulletproof vest. He says, but after watching this movie, I made a promise to my family that starting tomorrow, I would wear my vest. And lo and behold, the following week, he was shot in the chest and the vest saved his life. And he got in touch with me and said, hey, you know, if it wasn't for watching your movie, you know, very well be dead today. And so those are some amazingly heartwarming stories and rewarding for me. And, you know, again, Bill, the goal, though, really is amongst the law enforcement circles, we understand the sacrifices and we understand what a good job normally is done. And, you know, our goal also is to root out the bad apples, and we want to make sure that that's the case. But at the same time, we want the public to sort of walk in our shoes and being able to watch these movies. And in the first film, the first Heroes Behind the Badge, it primarily deals with officers that were killed in the line of duty. And you're hearing their stories firsthand from their partners, their wives or husbands, their children. And in the second film, it's really more about officers that were critically wounded in the line of duty. You know, we have a very, very powerful story out of Moab, Utah, mm-hmm. where a state park officer, in one of the most beautiful places in the country, is just going to check on somebody that hasn't been seen on a trailhead there in one of the hiking areas. And he walks upon a car, and a guy opens fire and shoots him 9 times.
Jeez.
And he survives. Not only does he survive after being shot 9 times, but you know what? Today he's back on full duty and back doing his job again. That's just,
wow.
You know, they're incredibly, incredibly powerful stories. You know, what we tried to illustrate in these films, too, is, you know, these kind of things and mayhem across America can knock at your doorstep anywhere. And it doesn't matter whether you're in one of the biggest cities in America or one of the most beautiful, pristine places in the United States, like Mount Rainier National Park in Washington. And we did another story where Margaret Anderson, a national park law enforcement officer, approaches a guy that had just killed several people at a New Year's Eve party in Seattle and is armed with several assault rifles, and she tries to stop this guy from going up to the upper level to this paradise ski play area to protect all these people, and ultimately she sacrificed her life where the guy opened fire with this rifle and shot her 30 times. And it just illustrates that this kind of craziness happens anywhere in America, and we have to be vigilant about this and just aware.
Bill, is it happening more, or is it just that we're more aware of it because of media? You know, everybody has a smartphone with a camera in it these days.
You know, I got to tell you, Bill, when I started my law enforcement career in Miami back in the 80s, it was a whole different era of policing. And certainly in Miami, and I can tell you from 1980 to about 1994, Miami was the crime capital of the United States, you know, led in homicides and violent crimes. And so I can say and speak firsthand, it is a different time and a different era. You know, in the 1980s, Fidel Castro emptied his prisons and insane asylums and shipped several hundred folks over here to Miami, and that was the Mariel boat lift with all the Marielitos, which inspired, like, for example, the movie Scarface. There were so many murders that took place during the 80s down here based on those criminals and folks that came from Cuba that literally the Dade County Medical Examiner's Office had to go to Burger King Corporation that was headquartered here in Miami and rent out their refrigeration trucks to be able to store the bodies.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
So we've gone through different phases in this country with different waves of criminality, where I can at least say here, you know, we went from the Marilitos to the Jamaican posses to the Russian mafia. And each segment of this country has those different issues. I think that today the big difference is I'm not entirely sure that violent crime is a whole lot less than what it used to be. If you really consider the statistics, and this is something that is oftentimes skewed by the media and isn't understood by the general public, but if you go back to, say, the 80s and the prevalent run-and-gun, spray-and-pray shooting everybody that went on, that happened here primarily, but it happened all over the country. But today, you're still getting those kind of activities because now you've got people running around with AK-47s, which we never had, and all these military assault rifles, and you have these different fanatical groups that are out there. What's brought the crime rate down that's a bit skewed now, and why not as many people are actually being killed, is because of the advent of trauma centers, because of the ability of fire rescue to be there in 3 minutes and save your life, where we didn't have that to the same degree we had before. So to answer your question, I think the crime rate is probably equal to how it's been. One thing about your question, with everyone having a cell phone and a cell phone camera and they're videotaping everything, that's actually helped law enforcement considerably because it's been able to solve a lot more crimes. And I think a number of people have become a little bit more hesitant perhaps in committing certain crimes because they never know who's going to be filming them or where the poll camera is or the business camera is. And so that's made solving crimes significantly easier.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense, that having cameras can certainly help in a lot of different situations. And to your point, I was wondering back in the heyday, like you were talking about in Miami, when there was a huge influx of crime, were they more killing themselves because of with the drug related kind of a thing, or did the crime on innocent citizens skyrocket as well during that time?
I would say primarily it was criminal on criminal crime. Oftentimes it was turf wars and competition between drug traffickers and who was doing what criminal activities. It just happened, though, that the overflow would occasionally affect your average citizen that would get caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
Or caught up in a bad situation. They weren't generally targeted as much. So I would say, yeah, I agree with your comment that it was more, criminals, crime on crime.
Kind of jockeying for positioning, basically, in their territory. But, of course, more bullets equals more stray bullets, and that means there's going to be casualties and a lot of people get caught up in it. Well, Bill, I really appreciate you coming onto the show and telling us about the movies. Again, they're called Heroes Behind the Badge. And you can go to that website, www.heroesbehindthebadge.com, and find out more. And we will also be posting links to trailers for the movies so you can check out a little snippet of them before you go and buy them. But again, this is to benefit the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in part and to really help out those that are helping us. So we really appreciate you coming on, and I hope they're runaway hits. And people have a new admiration and respect for what you law enforcement professionals go through on a day-to-day basis, Bill.
Well, Bill, thanks very much for having me. It's been great, and I appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this, so please stay with us. Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.